the 2019 Fortnite World Cup, and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is the Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on the latest. We do this daily, except for Saturday and Sunday, so make sure you have subscribed to go ahead and do that. And if you're watching today's show on YouTube, hit the like button when you get to a part of the show that you actually like. And if you're listening via podcast, be sure to go out and leave us a review. Thank you to those who have done so recently. It's very much appreciated. Also, we are nominated for an award, so head on over to podcastawards.com and be sure to fill out the form there. Nominations are currently open. They will be ending at the end of this month, being July. So if you want to nominate our show for an award, we need to hear from you. Podcastawards.com, totally free to do. It just takes a couple minutes to sign up. We are listed under the technology category, and you can happen to nominate any other podcast that you listen to as well, and whatever category you listen to podcasts in. I know some people listen to a variety of business and politics and health. So feel free to take your pick. Hopefully your show is in there and you can nominate them. The nominations end at, like I said, the end of July, and the voting slate opens in the middle of next month. And well, we got some quick news for you guys. It's not going to be a complete show, so consider it a Friday special. We're only going to be looking at three articles today. The first one being the $30 million Fortnite World Cup that's going on right now. And I should know, I was actually watching a little bit of it. We'll also be taking a look at Duolingo partnering with Twitch to help you learn languages better. And, well, I figured this qualified as tech news, even though, gadget news, even though it's not specifically. But did you know that the 2020 Olympic medals will be made from recycled gadgets? Yeah, well, we'll be taking a look into that and more. Let's head on over to Today in Tech History. Like I said, it was a quick show. I didn't have time to research some did-you-know tech facts, but if you happen to know of any, send them my way. We are at Tech News Gadget on Twitter or at Latest in Tech News on Instagram. So being that today is July 26, 2019, on this day in 1963, SYNCOM 2, the world's first geosynchronous satellite, is launched. SYNCOM 1 was intended to be the first one, but an electronics failure rendered the satellite inoperable during the ascent to orbit. But this one was the first one that finally survived, so it's technically the first one now, I guess, however you want to call it. But yeah, one of many now satellites orbiting the Earth, providing information and data back to us people on the ground. Also, on this day in 1996, AT&T Corp. and Microsoft announced an alliance to promote Microsoft's World Wide Web browser, Internet Explorer, in a move designed to allow both giants to gain easier entrance into the burgeoning internet business sphere. Under the deal, AT&T and Microsoft agreed to promote and distribute jointly Internet Explorer and AT&T's internet service. The deal represented AT&T's move to expand its long-distance telephone service and another effort by Microsoft to offset its late entry into online computing software, because, you see, they had a little bit of a misstep that allowed Netscape Communications to dominate browser technology during that time. And not to be outdone, Internet Explorer wanted to pop up, and and then there was AOL too. So they already had all the fun. Yeah, right now you're probably like, what's AOL? Okay. Let me break it down. How many of you listening to the show right now remember the days when you got the internet, quote, in a CD in the mail? If you know what I'm talking about, well, you might have been growing up during the, well, 90s and 2000s, but that's what I remember. We're like, really? So we can use a CD and then we can put it into the computer, but we have to have a telephone cable plugged into it and we can use the internet? with this cool new service called AOL Instant Online? What? That's cool. And then you heard all the kick of the modem being started. You have no idea if you're if you grew up after that. The torture. Now, I guarantee you, like several decades from now, we'll be, you know, knocking you over the head with this, saying, "Oh, back in my day, I had to listen to that dang dial tone startup of the stupid internet." So, with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. All right, first up, exciting, exciting news, and I should probably move myself a little bit more over to the right. Stupid webcam. I'll do it later. The next show will be fine. But the $30 million Fortnite World Cup, here in 2019 at least, kicks off today. The event that competitive Fortnite players have been waiting for finally gets underway at the Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queens, New York. Hundreds of pros will be present at the three-day Fortnite World Cup, and thousands or millions more will be watching. When all is said and done, a few will end up a whole lot richer. The event will begin with an opening ceremony at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Nobody knows what Epic has planned for it, except now that it's passed. There could be dancers. A new mode might get announced. Maybe Lil Nas X will show up and perform a special new Fortnite remix of Old Town Road. Epic Games announced it was spending $100 million on Fortnite esports back in February. There have been certain innovations in how esports are streamed, controversies over certain screen resolutions getting banned from competition, and there's no shortage of attempted cheating along the way. Some of those cheaters even eventually qualified for this weekend's event. Now fans will see if the spectacle it's all been building up to has been worth it. So the schedule for the rest of the Fortnite World Cup, for those of you who are interested in tuning in over the weekend: the creative finals will take place at 1 p.m. showcasing the talents of Ninja, FaZe, Scissors, and other big names as they try to overcome unique challenges in custom game modes. The Celebrity Pro-Am begins at 4 o'clock p.m., featuring teams made up of Fortnite celebrities alongside actual pro players competing for a share of the $3 million prize pool to be donated to the charity of their choosing. Big names involved in this portion of the World Cup include WWE star Xavier Woods and actor Dante Basco, best known for playing Rufio in the 1991 movie Hook. Wow. Also present, and seeing as how I already watched it, and if you are watching it, you already know, Dr. Lupo, Courage, Jordan Fisher, Ninja, Marshmallow, you name it, they're all there. All the pros, even Tfue himself, managed to show up. Yes, Tfue, the guy who missed the dang plane to get to the Fortnite World Cup, who decided to blame himself being late, so-called, because he was too busy playing Fortnite. Dude, how old are you? Get off the computer. I know you like playing Fortnite. Get on your plane. It's, for crying out loud, I think he was just doing it for drama's sake. But anyways, he made it on a backup flight. He's there. He's present. And then this is just the Friday warm-up session, so if you're tuning into the show right now, it's probably Saturday for the most part, in which case the competitive side is actually kicking off. So you probably missed Friday, or you're watching it already. It's more the creative side and a Pro-Am charity event. So Saturday is where the competitive side of the tournament begins, starting with the Duo Finals pre-show at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, followed by the main event at 1 p.m., capped off by the winner's ceremony at 4:45. The best 50 teams from all around the world will compete across 6 matches, with the pair who get the best record being crowned the champs. Sunday follows a similar schedule for the solo matches. The pre-show kicks off at 12:30, followed by the finals at 1, and the finals winner's ceremony wrapping up the entire 3-day event at 4:45. Only 100 players from the 40 million who tried to qualify over the last few months, some who cheated along the way, will be playing in the final Battle Royale game, and it'll wrap it all up. They do have it up on the Fortnite Twitch channel, so easy to watch it. Otherwise, I guarantee you a couple of your big streamers that you follow on Twitch will probably be having replays going on of the event as well, seeing as how most of them are present this weekend and in attendance at the World Cup. What are you looking forward to most? Me? Probably not going to be able to tune in all that much, but here's what I can say so far. I really like how they've upped the quality on the cams, at least for spectator mode. I'm really enjoying that. I was blown away by the 100 person cam layout that they had going on. Like, if you're present, you had no idea what we are looking at least those of us watching the live stream, but I was watching the live stream, and when it got, it almost sucked that it was a, like a transition type scene, and kind of like a warm up before the actual game started. But there was a screen. They had all 100 players cams for every single one of them in a 10 by 10 bar, rows, columns, all set up, and you could see every single person in the match in that setup. I was like, oh, this is great, this is awesome. And then they transitioned away from it, and I'm like, I didn't want to watch the match start. I wanted to see the, you know, players. This is, for crying out loud. But I do like it. I'm happy to see that they finally improved their game a lot on the back end. I mean, if you're just sitting there watching it and enjoying it, good. That means the technology is working great, and you can sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Let's just say that esports has come a long way in terms of broadcast performance, and they're really, really repping their game when it comes to being on par, if not above par, when it comes to broadcasting on a professional level. I mean, its quality almost rivals that of like sports broadcasts and baseball and you know, football, soccer, all the big ones. Because I'm like, man, could you imagine the amount of people behind the scenes operating cameras, checking to make sure everything's working fine, the producers they have behind the scenes, everything that has to be connected, the amount of internet power and speed that they're going to need to use, and how many computers they're all hardwiring. It's enough to, like, once you start thinking about it, your mind just goes, how in the world did they think of this? I mean, it's pretty incredible. So I'm really excited to see them stepping up their game, but I'm a little biased. I enjoy the League of Legends World Championship matches just a little bit more, and I'm a little bit biased because it's kind of the game where I started up with the whole esports thing. But I'm glad to see Fortnite's really starting to get into it. We haven't had any bugs so far, and this is where I'm going to mention. I did see one of my Mixer buddies, Alan Owens, in attendance at the event, the Pro-Am event, Fortnite World Cup. He's there, present, right now. And they actually caught him on camera, on live stream. I was watching it. I was like, hey, that's Alan. And he's sitting there with the, you know, the crown on his head. And he's like, hey, it's me. Like, he knew he was on. And then, of course, somebody clipped it and sent it to him. And he's having fun retweeting it. So he's having a blast there. So good luck, Alan. Hope you have fun this weekend. But yeah, let me know what your thoughts are on it down in the comment section. By the way, if you're listening to this on the podcast and you're going, is there a video that goes along with the show? Yeah, head on over to youtube.com/technewsgadget. Let's move on to the next article. All right, next article has us looking at Duolingo partnering with Twitch to help you learn languages better. Now, in the spirit of becoming multilingual or learning another language and the many benefits that come from knowing two languages, like, can you imagine? You're probably like, what do I need to know two languages when English is good enough? Think about it. Knowing more than one language fluently is a good thing. It's good to go outside of your bubble of comfort and understand another language, much less speak another language, much less hear of other people who say, yeah, I speak five languages fluently, or hear about like a 10-year-old kid going, ah, I can speak 10 fluently, and you're like, 10? Okay, hats off to you, dude. Well, yesterday, language learning platform Duolingo announced a partnership with Twitch. Yep, you read that right. To begin what's called the Duolingo Verified Streamer Program, the company chose 12 multilingual streamers to partner with who stream everything from cooking to CSGO. The idea is that practicing with a streamer will help you learn faster, even if you aren't speaking aloud. Immersion, above all, is key to learning a new language, and for me, I can't attest to that fact more than me about a decade ago at this point, being dropped into the middle of Taiwan. At the time, I had a job teaching English in schools in Taiwan. And when I landed in Taiwan, there was very minimal English signs. It was all Chinese. All Chinese. The people spoke Chinese, read Chinese, and there was only Chinese everywhere. I mean, if you're lucky, you could pick out English words and try to decipher what exactly they're meaning, because sometimes the translations didn't correlate directly. So most of the time you're left guessing. Otherwise, you kind of had to like start picking up stuff really quick. They spoke Chinese too, so you kind of had to pick all that up. And it went well. I mean, I picked it up a lot faster than I would have at, you know, studying it at home. So that's what this is designed to do for those on Twitch. According to the company, each Duolingo streamer is part of its Global Ambassador Program, which is a worldwide network of volunteers that helps Duolingo host events, build courses, and generally advance its mission. The company's Twitch partnership is starting with Duolingo's core languages, which include English, Spanish, French, German, Italian, Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese, and Arabic. Duolingo promises to add more languages and streamers to its roster down the road. Even if it's somewhat unconventional, the partnership does seem like a good idea, and while it was possible to get the same kind of immersion before by, well, watching streams in a language you're trying to learn and then formalizing the process, it makes a lot of sense. Think about it. After all, the Duolingo owl just wants to meet you where you are. So that's that for that article. And by the way, if you guys are wondering, hey, where are the articles that you mentioned in today's show? You can find them in the show notes over at technewsgadget.net. All right. Well, now we get to talk about this. So this is some gadget news. a little bit out there in terms of, like, you're probably looking at it right now saying, Taylor, you're really stretching this. I mean, I can't see why you decided to put this in the tech in the tech show, much less the gadget category for the show topics today. But this will be one of those did you know facts. Now you can run around and tell all your friends, family, parents, and say, I know something you don't know, and just like hang it over their head. I heard about it on the show. There you go, bragging points. Kudos to you for listening to the show. Did you know that the 2020 Olympic medals will be made from recycled gadgets? Well, it's true. The medals awarded during next year's Summer Olympics and Paralympic Games in Tokyo, set to kick off July 24th, 2020, will be completely made from recycled materials. The Tokyo Organizing Committee of the Olympics and Paralympic Games decided to create sustainable medals in an effort to build, quote, an innovative future for all. Tokyo 2020 Medal Project officials shared what they hope the results of the upcycling would create a lasting legacy and contribute to an environmentally friendly and sustainable society. Okay, outside of being environmentally friendly and innovative future and green for the planet and all, literally all they did was recycled gadgets and turn them into medals. Pretty cool. I mean, they don't look that bad either. They actually look like a decent, good quality metal. The process has been in the works since early 2017, when Japan announced it would collect old electronics and repurpose them into metals. Since then, the organizing committee has gathered over 47,000 tons of tech waste and more than 5 million cell phones in an effort to make the games more sustainable. The committee sought to collect around 70 pounds of gold, 7,700 pounds of silver, and 4,850 pounds of bronze, all from various donated electronic gadgets, to fashion approximately 5,000 medals for next year's games. The Japanese government will further recycle any source materials that aren't used to make the medals. Now, Tokyo took the inspiration from the 2010 Vancouver Winter Olympics, which implemented a similar method of reusing electronics such as TVs, computers, and keyboards for their medals. Now, for that effort, the Vancouver-based metal company Tech Resources teamed up with the Canadian Mint to to create approximately 1,000 medals, but they're planning on doing all of them this time around, at least here in Tokyo. And they don't look all that bad. They actually look pretty impressive. So good job, Tokyo, on that. Although I you didn't pull the wool over my eyes on this one. I figured you guys were going to do something like this. I mean, it's Tokyo. It's Japan. Why wouldn't you? So now you can take that fact to the bank, guys, and whenever anybody wants to quiz you, or you can just run around right now and say, I know something you don't know. Hey, did you know the 2020 Olympic medals will be made from recycled phones and stuff?
Yeah,
it's true. Well, and then point them here, because they'll say, yep, heard it here first, folks. All right, and with that, that wraps up this episode of the latest in tech news. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday, so seeing as how weekend is upon us, I will see you guys back on Monday. The latest in tech news can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to let us know by clicking that like button and leaving a comment. And if you're listening to the podcast, be sure to go and leave us a review. Thank you so much to those of you who have. Means a lot. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.